Our readings today speak of integrity of mind and heart and action, of choosing to do the will of God, of following God's commandments. And it is in that we hear St. Paul proclaim this wonderful hymn of exaltation in who Jesus is. That he reminds us that Jesus becomes like us out of obedience to the love of the Father, that he empties himself so that he might become filled with graciousness of his Father, as we are called to do the same. That he obediently follows what God, his Father, asks him to do, even to the point of death, death on the cross. And St. Paul, at the very end of this hymn, tells us why Jesus does it. He does it to give glory to his Father, to lift up his voice, to lift up the world's voice, to lift up creation's voice in praising God out of love. It is that obedience of love that Jesus and God the Father desire of us. And it is that obedience of love that we are called to follow. Our first reading tonight reminds us of what that looks like. The prophet says very clearly, is it God's fault when you do something wrong? Is it God's fault when you choose not to do the right thing? And then you say, God, it's unfair? No, he says, no, that's God's gift to you, is that freedom of choice, because he also gives you the gift of choosing to live within his blessing, within his love, within his grace, within his hope, within his very life. And Paul echoes that in that wonderful hymn where he says to us right before he begins the hymn, don't look after just yourself, but actually first look after others. Look out into the world and say, who may I serve today in love? How may I act today in the obedience of love? What can I do for my brothers and sisters around me that will make the world a place of holiness and peace where the kingdom of God is manifest out of love? What are the actions necessary for that? Because they are direct actions that we are called to live. Because Jesus shows us in the gospel what happens when our words and our actions don't match each other up. Right? The first son gets told by the father, go out in the field and work. I grew up in a farm. And I remember dad coming down into our rooms, banging on the door early in the morning, telling my brother, my older brother and my Morris, to go out and work. You know, and there are those mornings where, you know, maybe we had a little bit of a headache, maybe stayed up a little too late at night, maybe had a little too much fun the day before. And it was really hard to get out of bed. And there were times where we grumbled like, no, I'm not going to do that. And dad would close the door and he would leave because he knew that while the grumbling was there, we would go out and do the necessary work most of the time. Because there were other times, and I can say this very clearly, where we sat there and said, yep, we're going to up. It's a beautiful day outside. We get outside. It's 110 degrees. It is hot. It is miserable. And we sit there and say, well, maybe we just should go back inside, have a nice cold soda, and just rest. Maybe tomorrow will be a better day to do it. Yes, and there were days where that temptation overcame us. Because what Jesus is reminding us today is that those interactions, the interior conversion that we are called to live, is out of obedience to the love we have for the other, for God the Father. Because when Jesus says to the chief priests and the elders of the community, prostitutes and tax collectors have already went into the kingdom before you. Why are they before? Well, they're not before because they continued living in the sinful life they had lived, but rather because on hearing the message of John the Baptist, on hearing the message of God's proclamation of forgiveness, of unity, they chose, as the first son did, to go into the vineyard of the Lord and to work. And Jesus is pointing out to the elders of the people, to the chief priests, that while you talk a good game, have you went out into the field and worked today? Or have you sat back and said, I'll get to it tomorrow? I know what I'm supposed to do, and I know when I'm supposed to do it, but I'll get to it later. That conflict of who we are and what we do, how we are called to live our lives as Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, how we are called to enter into that conversion where we choose to go into the vineyard of the Lord willingly and with joy and with blessing because we want to give glory to the Father in thanksgiving for all that we have been given and we have shared. Because Jesus says to us very clearly through the Apostle Paul that love isn't something to be held and grasped and never shared. Because if God is love, and Jesus is truly the Son of God as we believe, then he did not grasp himself and said, I'm not going to share myself with anybody. But rather, he opened his arms to the point of death on the cross and said, come to me, all who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He says to us, come and offer me, I'm offering you my peace, the peace the world can never give. Come to me. Share with me that life. Don't grasp at it, but rather open your arms and let the love of life, the blessing of life, the peace of life, the joy of life, the mercy of life, the forgiveness of life, all of those things that God desires for us to live, because those are the place of joy and happiness, to flow into our lives and to flow out to others. Because the more our heart is open to that love, the greater we are able to share the love and the more that we are able to receive the love. It is that generosity, the abundance that God talks about. Not the generosity and abundance of money, but the generosity and abundance of the gifts of creation, the gifts of life, the gifts of love, the gifts of truth that Jesus dearly desires to reside within our very beings. And it is taking that knee, bending the knee before the Lord and saying, you are more, and I desire to live with you, that opens our eyes to that. And we know what it looks like, right? Each of us has seen it. Each of us has experienced it. It looks like the 2-year-old kid. And they see their mom or their dad, and they start running towards them. What do? Do they run to them like this? Mommy! No, they spread their arms wide. And what does the parent do? Even with cranky knees, even with a sore back, they get down to embrace the child in love. That obedience of love that calls us to share and to interchange the very lives that we have and that we share. We know what that image looks like. It's a young man on his knee before his beloved, begging her to take him. And what do they do after that? They don't get up and walk different directions. They don't shake hands, give each other a high five, and walk away. They embrace in love. It is that gift of life, that gift of peace, that gift of love that we are called to share. It is what we do. It is what we are called to be. The promise that these young men and women will make today is the promise that as they leave this church, they will begin to seek God and live that Christian life, that life of embracing one another in love, friends, neighbors, those at school, classmates, people they work with, teachers, even those people they don't like. They are promising that they are walking on that road to conversion. They are choosing to go into the vineyard of the Lord and do the work of Christ, where the kingdom becomes manifest by the very love that we share in and through our Lord Jesus Christ and his Heavenly Father, where we promise that we will be obedient in love to God, even unto death, death on a cross. Because we, as Paul reminds us, are called to live and share the life of Jesus with each other. And so we thank you for your example tonight of coming here, of blessing us, of letting us hear your promise, your conviction. Just don't be like that second son and walk out the door and say, too hot today. Let me come back in and rest some more. But rather truly go into that vineyard seeking Jesus Christ and your friends, your neighbors, those around you. Truly being the face and the blessing of Jesus to each other and to your friends. Being obedient to the love of Christ. Not grasping, but open-armed and sharing his life, his love, and his blessing. Okay? We promise to pray for you too, guys. I promise you that, okay? So I would like those who are preparing or the candidates for confirmation, if you would please stand. And if you arrived a little late or somewhere in the back of the church, come forward, okay? Any of the students that may have arrived a little late? No? Okay. My dear friends, we now welcome those of you who have been baptized, have received the Eucharist, and are now seeking completion initiation through the sacraments of confirmation and the Eucharist. For all of you, we give thanks and praise to the God who has led you by various paths to oneness and faith. My dear candidates, you are welcomed in the name of Jesus Christ. And so I ask you, and so we reply with a loud and firm voice, do you want the gift of faith offered by God through Christ's church? Do you believe that this faith will lead you to eternal life? Do you wish to be accepted as a candidate for reception into full communion with the Catholic Church? And my dear candidates, are you prepared to reflect more deeply on the mystery of your baptism, to listen with us to the Word of God, and to join with us in a life of prayer and service? I would invite you to bow your heads as we ask God to protect you from all evil and harm. And at this time, I'd ask the rest of the community to please stand and extend your arms towards these candidates.